I got scared. I walked in a minute ago, only Daniel's here. I said, wow, a topic like this and no one's around. But Baruch Hashem, today is Monday, March 11th, 2013. And I want to say hello to my students in front of me and to all those listening across wherever the magic of the website reaches. I want to tell you, I'm very happy. If you recall, when I lectured a few weeks ago on the Mechit to Ilui, well, what's the problem? What's the problem, Moshe? When I mentioned on the Mechit to Ilui, so I told you the story how he saw the kids playing in front of Talmudical Academy, Yeshivas of Shulchanan on the east side, and he saw how happy they were, and he said to the Talmudim who had accompanied him from Williamsburg to the east side on the subway, why couldn't we play when we were kids? We would be the same Talmidei Chachamim, and we would have had a wonderful youth. So I want to tell you, a Talmud listening, Chaim Snitzer, listening via the website, sent me a source from the memoir of Reb Meir Berlin from Voloshin Biz Yerushalayim. There's a Hebrew translation of this. He wrote it in Yiddish, I believe, but it's translated from Voloshin Ad Berlin. May Voloshin Ad Yerushalayim, and on the Yiddish version, which he sent me, on page 254 at the bottom, continue in 255, is a very similar quote, where the Mechita lamented why he wasn't as a child allowed to jump and skip like the other youngsters. So, Baruch Shekivanti. Okay. Inyan Adiyoma. To me, the most terrible black mark that Torah has on the contemporary scene are the endless scandals that Echad Rodef Et HaSheni. Chazal tell us, Adam Nidan Bekiso Bekaso Bekoso. Kiso, money. Kaso, I would say, character traits. Koso, the pleasures of life. Wine, women, and song. When I was growing up, I saw Gedolei Yisrael up close. Young people sort them out. Don't have to tell you the yeshiva faculty, our yeshiva, many, many Gedolei Yisrael. Chaim Berlin, Torah V'das, RJJ, Lakewood as it developed. You saw people who were mamish, as the Gemara says, it's twice from Shas. I believe it's in Chagiga, and I believe also in Moed Katan. Im HaRebi Doma L'malech L'mat Torah Mipiv. You were exposed to Rebbeim Gedolei Yisrael. Angels, Shichman Lamala Mikol Ha'am, so different than other human beings, so different than general culture role models. And look where we're at today. It's overwhelming. You're even shielded. Unfortunately, I have traveled all over the world. And I know the players, whether it's Yerushalayim, whether it's Melbourne, whether it's Sydney, whether it's London, whether it's Borough Park, whether it's Flatbush, we have had one scandal of every type imaginable, from Koso, Kiso, to Kaso, and it's overwhelming. And what we desperately need is a Rebbe Yisrael Salanta. And this is why Rebbe Yisrael came along. Rebbe Yisrael saw that what the Muslim movement fought the most, to use the words of the Prophet and the words that Rebbe Yisrael developed as an aphorism, mitzvot anashim milumada, that people do mitzvot out of habit, out of rote. You teach a person, why do we eat three times a day? Why do we sleep at night? I want to ask you a simple question. Show me one halacha that you have to sleep at night. Is it better for your health? Sleep by day. Why by night? Why three meals a day? And what would be wrong if we had five little snacks instead of three regular meals a day? But there's a certain lifestyle where 99% of the human beings, intelligent human beings, live in. And the same thing when it comes to mitzvah. Torah is so popular today. We're no longer a small minority. The New York Times, this article by David Brooks and Yaakov Soloveitchik has engendered so much commentary. Pro, con, immediately people are negative. It's amazing, the human being. Why can't we be pro? Why can't we be positive? Why can't Re'u B'tov Yerushalayim? And it's amazing how much commentary has been engendered. And today, everyone is frum. Is it really frumkeit, or is it just monkeys putting on tefillin? It is shocking. It is horrendous. You don't start to realize the depth of the scandals. When they arrested that person in Flatbush the other week, I was shivering, shaking. This is someone I know intimately, with a long beard. Could be a Hasidic Rebbe. It's the Radomsky Anenikel. St. Tata's given a Hasidic Rebbe. And imagine he's driving from Flatbush to Kugarten Hills. I know the drive. Not too much traffic. You can do it in 50 minutes. Traffic, an hour. He's driving 45, 50 minutes, 1 hour to rape a 14-year-old girl, a 59-year-old man. I tell you, is this normal? Is this Torah? How desperately we need a Rebbe Yisrael Salanta. And unfortunately, Rebbe Yisrael fell flat on his feet. This is the other side of the coin, that the masses cannot handle depth, commitment, imagination, Mesirat Nefesh. The Hasidic movement succeeded unbelievably. That in the year 2014, the most powerful part of the Torah world are the Hasidic various Rebbeim. It's beyond words how much they succeeded. And then Rabbi Yisrael Salanta fell flat on his feet, and that's what we desperately, desperately need today. And we owe a very big apology, and I want to say this publicly. We are B'nai Torah. Some of us were not born into frum families. So over the last few years in the Kollel, we ran a definite percentage, anywhere from 30% to 40%, even as much as 50% last year, of children who came from homes where they were Balei Tshuva, their parents were Balei Tshuva. And, you know, we tell Balei Tshuva, we have a sublineal message, whether we spell it out or don't spell it out. And what are we saying to Balei Tshuva? Kizerei v'kadesh, join the Torah world. A world of Shabbat and Kashrut and Tarat Mishpacha, Talmud Torah, Gedolei Yisrael. We are different than anyone else. Am Levadad Yishkon. This is the sense of our survival. And I cry, you know. I can handle it. I grew up in the Torah world. I grew up with Machlokes. I didn't grow up with the sins today of Koso, Kiso, Vakaso. That I did not grow up with. I saw Gedolei Yisrael, Chas V'Chalila, no one. Moshe Rabbeinu, Tanayim, Mamorim, Kedosha Yelon, Rishonim, Kamalachim. But never, we bring these people into Yiddishkeit, and some of them become so disappointed. Don't want to go into details, but there are a few former Haredim that I saved personally from becoming Mechalalei Shabbos once again. You see the world up close? I want to say, when we reach out, we cannot tell the people, come into Yiddishkeit, you're going to meet endless, wonderful, holy, sacred people. I would rather say to the Balei Tshuva to be, come into Yiddishkeit, and you may meet one or two people who are giants, who are, use a word, I don't know how to say it in English, but the Mashgiach taught me this word, Rabbi Yaakov Meshach, can you listen? Ein Oishka Abet Mensch, a person whose entire being is sanctity, as much as a human being can be. A person whose entire being, whose entire gestalt is a Torah personage. You may meet one or two. Don't expect to meet the masses. People are people. Yetzer lev adam ra min rav. I never understood that pasuk. I have to be honest with you. Today I understand it very well. And I apologize. I apologize to anyone that over the years I gave you a description of Yiddishkeit and Gedol Yisrael and let you think that it was munach, as the Gemara says, in the marketplace, on the shuk, munach b'rechov, kol haba, anyone could come. It's not like that today. Today, don't give up hope. A Jew has to be a Jew. We're not monkeys. We don't put tefillin on out of rope. We have to be totally committed. We have to be constantly improving, working on ourselves, developing ourselves. You may meet a few Gedolei Yisrael, giants, people whose entire visage encourages respect, love, dedication, Mesirat Nefesh. And these are the few that brought us until today and take us further. But that to me is the biggest problem. To you, the biggest problem, and rightfully so, and I apologize that I can't get upset. I've lived here 44 years. I'm not impressed, not by beards, and not by lack of beards, and not by black clothes, and lack of black clothes, and not impressed by hats, and lack of hats. I've seen everything in these 44 years. So, I hear the name calling. I felt very bad for you, because I saw how hurt you were with the names that you heard being used in the public thoroughfare. Could you imagine a Gadol Shebegadolim calls anyone who doesn't think his way a Goy and says it in public? Called us Goyim. His followers went a little bit further. We wear kippot the size of a chatzi shekel. I don't know, I took a chatzi shekel and I wrapped my kippah around it and I found that I could wrap my kippah about 25 times around the chatzi shekel. So I don't exactly get overwhelmed. But let me explain to you what's happened here. And if you understand what's happened, you will not be upset. And what we're going through is a process. It took 65 years to bring us to this point. It'll take another 65 years. Baruch Hashem, to work out. We're moving in the right direction. I've given many lectures on this. I spoke on this for about 2 years in the past among the shurim that I'm most proud of. Ultimately, my shurim on Das Torah, which are, in my humble opinion, in using Lashon, in using Yoredeo language, a chaticha hara'uyi lahitkabed ba. So, I think I know the topic. What happened when the state of Israel was formed? We were in a state of total shock. Now you have to remember at that time, following the Holocaust, the Torah Jew was few and far between. Yair Lapid had it absolutely correct in his talk at Kiryat Ono. Everyone expected the Torah Jew to disappear. Ben-Gurion was confident within 20 to 30 years there wouldn't be a Torah Jew left. When we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Ben-Gurion's birth, and I spoke of this in great detail a few years ago, everyone tried to analyze why Ben-Gurion made all his compromises with the religious Jews when he had an absolute majority without the religious Jews. He could have spat in their face and sent them away. And whole machlokes in historians going into Ben-Gurion's mind, but there was one opinion, and many agreed that this was the main opinion, that Ben-Gurion felt, what do we need to fight for another 20, 25 years? They're all going to be gone. Throw them a bone now. Let them be happy. Let them integrate. We'll take off the payas. We'll take off the beards. We know what they did to the Sfada kids in the kibbutzim. Give them a bone. And this is perhaps what Ben-Gurion really believed. It certainly was part of the mentality of the labor people who controlled the state of Israel. But something much more important and much deeper, and this is what no one understands today. 1948, and when we're using 48, 49 as the starting point, the religious Jews were basically one. Go back to Volozhin. Volozhin, which shaped the Torah world until today. If you're sitting in Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, you're sitting in Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan because there was a Volozhin. If I was privileged to publish 7 different books, 6 pure scholarship, 1 a scholarly memoir, all those volumes go back to Volozhin, including the scholarly memoir, if you read my introduction. Now, who grew up in Volozhin? Let's talk about the Mizrahi. Talk about the Mizrahi, Rav Shmuel Mulava, the Nitziv of Volozhin, Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Reines, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, the Meitzer Te'ili, Rav Shlomo Palachek, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Do I have to go any further? Talk about Agudat Yisrael, and I can't redo my lectures on Agudat Yisrael, but Baruch Hashem, I think I know Agudat Yisrael inside and out. Where did they come from? All the Litvish Rosh Yeshiva, all the Litvish Rabbana, Rav Chaim Isaac Grzynski. Without him, there would not have been an Agudat Yisrael. Where did he grow up? Volozhin. Rav Shimon Shkab. Where did he grow up? Volozhin. Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. The Chevron of Rosh Yeshiva, Slabatka, Chevron. Where did he grow up? Volozhin. Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, Sklutz, Kletz, Gates Chaim. Where did he grow up? Good at Yisrael. Volozhin. The Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Branovich Rosh Yeshiva, Good at Yisrael. Where did he grow up? Volozhin. Gentlemen, they all grew up on the same bench. When you grow up on the same bench, you have a lot in common. Yes, you differed, hashkafa-wise, but you have a lot in common. You understood each other. In 1948-49, all the religious Jews in Israel and the Sfardim played no major role whatsoever. They were just coming in. They were not even acclimating yet. Rav Ovadia Yosef changes the course of Sfardic history, but that's 20 to 30 years later. 30 years later, at least. All the religious Jews, the East European Jews, they grew up in the same cheder. Some came from Satmar, with Talmidim of the Satmar Rebbe. Some became Zionists, some became Agudistim. They spoke the same language. They had the same mentality. All right, one was Atzioni, one was not. But the differences between them were very minute. Mori, you want me to bring you a proof? I'll bring you a proof that's irrefutable. You're a scientist, all right? An irrefutable proof you can't argue with. You read the book Live Torah, Learn Torah, Love Torah about Pinchas Mordechai Teitz, written by his daughter Rivka Teitz Blau, a fabulous volume. One mistake in the volume, and Rakefet caught it, and Rivka couldn't thank me enough. No, gentlemen, the mistake. Let's see a little knowledge here. Yaakov, what do you say? In Dallas, you don't read good books? Oh my gosh, Shakespeare, all right. Gentlemen, Rivka writes that her mother always smacked her father around, which is the way it should be. A wife, if you don't have a wife who keeps you in line, you are in trouble. And I can give you many examples of this from real life. The Rav became the Rav because of Rebbetzin Tanya. Period. No machlokes about this. So, the Rebbetzin, Rabbi Prell's daughter, Rav Teitz's wife, who I knew so well, used to say to her, don't waste time on politics, you're wasting your time. Your job is to learn, to teach, to build a yeshiva, to give a shiur on the radio. Don't waste time in politics. Okay. And she says, that unfortunately in 1949 her father went around trying to unite the Mizrahi and Aguda. She laughed at him for wasting time and he didn't succeed. Dear Rivka, 1949, the one and only time. You can turn off the heat here. I see people are too warm. Turn off the heat. It's Baruch Hashem, New York, they're freezing, and here in Leptach Hazeshetag, weather-wise. 1949, can anyone tell me? There was a Hafugan, the fighting. The first elections were held in the state of Israel, and the Mizrahi and the Aguda ran a joint ticket. Get my point? Could that have happened today? Danny, this is gold. 49, we were a handful of Jews, a handful. But we understood each other. We loved each other. Mim gochavet af de zelbe benkel. Mim gegangen zu de zelbe rebbe. Mim geledent in de zelbe yeshiva. Mim geret de zelbe sprach. If you don't know what I'm saying, it doesn't matter, but you get the idea. It's fabulous. But you see, look what happened. Two miracles happened. Miracles that contradicted each other. Today, the Mizrahiite doesn't start to understand the Agudist. I can't. There's no way I can convey to my grandchildren my feelings. No way. I speak in Reb Aaron Cutler's 50th yard site at YU, and I'm praised all over the internet. Imagine Harav Dr. Aaron Rakefet, blah, 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 spoke so long and didn't say one negative word about Reb Aaron Cutler. That's praise? It shows you the Fadorbenkeit of our generation, that these schmecks playing around with the internet, young hotshots, they don't know what it's all about. But they don't understand the Baron Cutler. And Agudat Yisrael and Shas, that unfortunately becomes a mirror image of Agudat Yisrael, like Avadim b'fnei Rabam. It's sad to see, like Rav Ovadia, the lack of self-confidence. There are reasons why. He didn't grow up in a rabbinic family. And what can I tell you? You want to seek approval. I only want approval for one person, two people perhaps. When I finish a shiur, halavai, what I said yesterday shiur, the Rav and Rav Moshe should be sitting here. Either kiss me or smack my face. But either way, I win. You follow me, Moshe? Either way, I win. That's all. I don't look beyond. But Rav Ovadia, whatever the reasons are, he's constantly Rav Yashiv, Rav Shach, Ribbono Shel Olam. Today we could never run a joint ticket? Goyim? Chatzi Shekel? Two miracles happened. One miracle, and I don't want to downgrade the miracles. Don't want to denigrate. One miracle, the Aguda world went happily its own way, ghettoized Judaism. Hitzalti et nafshi, v'shalom al Yisrael. You don't bother me, I don't bother you. Chinuch atzmai, raise the money. You all know the famous dinner. What was it, 1956, I believe. Look into my book on the Rav. I believe in volume one, you'll find it in the biography. Look into Amos Bunim's book on his father, A Fire in His Soul. Rav Baron Cutler got the Rav to be the main speaker at the Chinuch Atzmai dinner. Charlie, do you think it was important for Rav Baron to get the Rav? Wasn't the Rav he wanted. But if you got the Rav, you got the whole Moria crowd, the Belgian crowd, the Egyptian crowd that davened in Moria, the diamond dealers. A little bit money, ah. And then they had a second miracle. You have to understand, a miracle within a miracle. They lived in a ghetto. They organized their own institutions. The Chinuch Atzmai, the Bat Yaakov, the education, the yeshiva. But had a second miracle. And that miracle is very powerful because we're a democracy. I told you this. I once spoke in a hotel, big crowd, a few years ago. And I mentioned that there was a time in Israel where the graduating class of the Eitz Chaim Talmud Torah in Yerushalayim, which was the most prestigious, like high school in the Haredi world, high school age, Talmud Torah. I mentioned 80% of the kids became Mechalalei Shabbos totally through Yiddishkeit away. Half the generals in the Israeli army in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s were Eitz Chaim graduates. I can give you names. Gonein, who was blamed for the Yom Kippur losses, General Gonein was an Eitz Chaim graduate. Kids ran away. This is Zionism. Who needs religion? Ben Gurion is right. A man got up, a man with a long beard and black clothes who was visiting from America. Money was running all over his beard. He was the uncle of the person that arranged this hotel and the tour and the speech and the whatnot. An Eitz Chaim graduate made his money in Florida. I beg to differ with Harav Rakefet. At the Machta Toyos, he made a mistake. 80% ran away. My graduate, Josh, closed the door, my graduating class of Eitz Chaim, 125 students graduated. I'm the only one who remained religious. One out of 125. Eidut Nemana, B'didi HaViyuvda, happened to him. Time marched on. Right, you have 8 kids, 9 kids, 10 kids. I don't say all remained religious. But the overwhelming majority remained religious. Do the mathematical progression. A Litvish Yid, a Hasidish Yid, living in Bnei Brak in the 1950s, has 8 children. 6 remain like him. Those 6 children each have 10 children already. Out of the 10, 9 remain. By the 1970s, Agudat Yisrael is a power, a democracy. And I don't know of any better governmental system than a democracy after having lived in Russia on 3 different occasions. Don't believe me? Read B'Nativ HaDamama. I don't know of a better system. But a democracy has a built-in fault. The masses can be jackasses, and yet if they're the masses, they have power. Before you know it, Chinuch Atzmai, who ever heard of a Chinuch Atzmai fundraiser in America in the last 20, 30 years? Baltimore, Dallas, Teaneck, Lawrence, Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Hancock Park? Absolutely not. Because as they had power, they had demands. 50% of the budget, 70% of the budget, 100% of the budget. Yiddish kinder, they're Jewish children. Begin came along, and Begin was a fabulous individual. I don't admire Begin. I'm sorry. I judge a man the way he raised his children. I don't say you always succeed with your children. What kind of chinuch did you get? Begin was an inverted Murano. On the outside, we never had such a proud Jew, a Yiddish mensch. Every second word he says was Bezrat Hashem, and Nachum Yosef Burg said, with every Ezrat Hashem, Maftal loses 10,000 votes to the Chirut. And boy, was Yosef Burg right. He was a very clever individual. Begin, until then, they had 100% of their budget, but not capital improvement. Not Begin, everything. 100% buildings, endless yeshivat, no longer a quota on how many yeshiva boys. 1970s, the explosion begins. 10 children, 9 3/4 remain, to use the new word that was coined in modern Hebrew. It's not pejorative, but descriptive. Charedim. Those 10 children already each have 10, and out of that little B'nai Brak Jew from the 1950s, he has, Baruch Hashem, 300 direct descendants who vote Gimel without batting an eyelash. How good did you say? Strong, powerful, what a world. Zionism? Chas v'chalila. Prayer for the state of Israel? Chas v'chalila. The same people that prayed for the Tsar, and the same people that say in America, Hanesim, Chuela, Malachim, and they mention Obama's name, I get sick, I walk out, I can't handle it. I go to a Kiddush club, I gotta be drunk after hearing that. How Jews, you follow me, Obama, oh my God, God have mercy, with his advisors they deal with. But the state, Tfilah la Medina, Tfilah la Chayalei Tzahal, wow. But you gotta give credit. Rebuilt. Are they all from? Absolutely not. How did I begin the class? We need a Rebbe Yisrael Salanter today desperately. Mitzvot Anashimul. Who would ever believe the day would come? You don't know what's going on in Yerushalayim. A Rosh Yeshiva was found in bed with an Eish Yiddish. I know who the man is. There's a warrant out. He's coming back from America now. He ran to America. It's unbelievable. Eilu Elohecha Yisrael. God have mercy. London, who could believe? You don't know who's involved. You don't start to comprehend what we're talking about in London. Flatbush. 4 kids, they tell me, I know cases documented, committed suicide because what their rebbeim did to them in high school. God have mercy. I was a high school rebbe teacher. It's the most formative stage of life. I have hashpa on you? Of course not. You want to change me. You're older than I am. You're smarter than I am. But a high school rebbe? You create, I have talmidim that I taught in the 60s, long before you were born. They remain like children to me today. They're in their 60s already. You have no idea the love, the kisses I get. Rebbe, you made me. A rebbe teaching Talmud? I don't understand it. Mitzvot Anashim Lumada. Monkeys grow beards and pay us and open a Gemara. Monkeys, not Jews, not Torah Jews, not Anshei HaMesorah, not where I come from, not people like I was exposed to. So I don't say everyone is from, I'm not an idiot. Agudat Yisrael has enough scandals. Enough. Right now they have more than enough. But masses of Shomrei Torah Mitzvah, Shomrei Shabbos. What power, what buying power. How many supermarkets we have today where every product has to have a double heksha or it can't be sold. Look at Borough Park. Look at the New York Times. Who would ever dream the most assimilated bastion of Jews that we ever had? The New York Times, the Salzburgers and whatnot. Take a look at their articles today. Who would have a dream? Brooks and a Soloveitchik visit Pomegranate. And it becomes the talk of the internet. It's a great miracle. I don't want to downplay it. But an even greater miracle happened. And that greater miracle is in the spotlight at this moment. And it's a miracle that will go on and on, take many years, until water seeks its proper level. And here I take you back to Rakefet's basic thinking and basic lectures over the decades in the Monday class. I apologize. Everyone knows the Monday class, and I get no credit for talking about the authority of the Shulchan Aruch and Vikem the Paskin and all that we did yesterday, Lichten Dred, because that's Lumdus. Few people really understand you. But when you talk about the Machet, the playing ball in front of the yeshiva, everyone is clapping hands and Baruch Hashem, I get good response. Yiddishkeit is not stagnant. Torah is given within a certain framework. Tell me, what's wrong with my statement? Moshe Rabbeinu went up and down Mount Sinai in an automatic elevator on Shabbos. What's wrong with that statement? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just close the door, okay? Or stay for the lecture. You're welcome to stay. There's a halacha when you walk in, you can't walk out. Someone's anger, isn't it? Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to relax. Gentlemen, don't be like the rubber. Someone pulled this on the rubber. Could you picture a volk if someone walked in and disturbed the shoe? What would have happened? Okay, we're only humans. Gentlemen, what's wrong with my statement? Moshe Rabbeinu put into a computer program everything the Ribbono Shel Olam told him. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with my statement? Moshe Rabbeinu shaved with an electric shaver. Of course. That Moshe Rabbeinu shaved, I have no doubt, but it couldn't have been an electric shaver because electric shavers were not invented yet. Computer was not invented yet. So, see, Torah is given within a certain society. Feminists have to understand that this was the way the world lived at that time. One man had two wives, three wives. The women were very happy. This was their social reality. But Torah has to be able to survive and thrive in any civilization. And if you study the history of Torah, you'll see that the Torah has built-in safeguards that enables it to survive and thrive in dignity in any civilization. And go back to the women's issue. Go through all of Chazal. Find me one Tana or one Amora who had more than one wife. Yes, there's one, they talk about that in every place he traveled, he would arrange to have a wife so he shouldn't have a Yetzer Hara. But I think that's not to be taken literally, but other than that, that's the exception that proves the rule. Show me one Tana, one Amora. Show me one Rishon. Rabbeinu Geshem made a Cherem. The Ashkenazic world, the Catholic world, the Christian world, they laughed at us that we permitted polygamy. So ultimately, we didn't permit polygamy. It's a gradual development. You take the Ketuvah. Ketuvah is not the Oraita. Ketuvah is the Rabbanan, Masechet Ketuvah. But women needed protection. Nowadays, I don't believe you should marry without a prenuptial agreement. Women and men too need protection. You don't realize. I know men who were agunim, I'll call them. There's no word. I don't know if I'm using the right word. Agunim. I know 2-3 cases like that where the women tortured the hell out of them. And these were for men. It's not that they could satisfy their sexual needs illegally, illicitly. These were from guys. Broke them in health. I know what the women did to them. My daughter won a very famous case where she insisted that the strictures that are applied against the man who refuses to give a get and declared a misarev get by a beitin should be applied against the woman who refuses to accept the get. And my daughter won the case on the lower court in Petach Tikva. They appealed against her to the Supreme Rabbinic Court. And Rav Yisrael Meyalau, who was then sitting as the Av Beit Din of the Beit Din Hagadoli Urim, said in 5 minutes the whole case was dismissed, hato'enet te'enet sodeket legamrei. The Knesset then picked it up, and the bill was rewritten. My daughter testified, and today the law of strictures is written either against a man or a woman. Of course, the woman being agunet is probably 10 times as much or more than a man. But it goes two ways. You have to have a prenuptial today. Torah has to be able to thrive in every society. But let's take a simple example. I'm looking around the room. No two of us are dressed the same way. Right or wrong? We have every colored shirt in this room. Come to the cult on Friday night. You'll see Balei Tshuva going with clothes looking like Avraham Avinu, with robes and tzitzit and tchelet attached to their robes. All right, I respect them. They need it. There was an article in the New York Times on this too, from their point of view. Lubavitch, the hippies, the songsters, instead of leaving Yiddishkeit, you have all types of diversions today. Art, music, you can find your way, no matter what type of soul, what bohemian soul you have. It's beautiful. We don't have to walk in a tight, straight jacket. But well, why the dress? Why? Did our grandparents dress like this? I have pictures of my great-great-grandparents. Chassidish clothes. Lying in begotten. Long beards. They don't look like me at all. I don't look like them at all. But believe me, I can learn much better than any of them. I sound like an arrogant Litvak, which I am. I apologize. But these are the facts. But you see, it all goes back to a modern aphorism in modern Hebrew which says the heart of Yiddishkeit, if you don't understand this, you don't understand Yiddishkeit. Ota giveret bishinui aderet. It's the same woman, but she changes clothes. Halacha commands obedience. This is eternal. This is a Jew. You don't have a choice about Shabbat and Kashrut and Tarek Mishpacha and Menschlichkeit and Midot Tovot and not getting drunk on Purim. There's no choice about that. That's to be a Jew. But we find ourselves in different civilizations. We're speaking English. I told you, where did I say it? Did I say it in class at the engagement party of a grandson the other night? I'm sure the other side was amazed. They were all Holocaust survivors. They all speak Hebrew, the grandparents, the children, the grandchildren. And my side of the family, when we're also here five generations. My parents were here, yet we're here. My children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We all speak English to each other. And a minute later, we have to speak with the other side. We speak Hebrew. What's the problem? But we speak English. We grew up in an Anglo society. If we grew up in France, we speak French. Grew up in Morocco, we speak Arabic. Grew up in Russia, speak Russian. But we're Jews. And it takes a long time to adopt, a long time to conquer a new culture. It doesn't happen overnight. You all know what happened with Moshe Mendelssohn and anyone who thinks, and I'll show this to you after Pesach in the Sunday class, Dafka. Sunday class, let me just think for 1 minute. Yeah, in the Sunday class. I'm going to show you an unbelievable source after Pesach. Unbelievable. Anyone who says, Mendelssohn, shame Rishon Yerkov, the Gemara, the Mishnah Yoma, you're an idiot. When I learned in Lakewood, I thought Mendelssohn's last name was Yimach Shmo. Well, Mendelssohn, Yimach Shmo. Mendelssohn? The Ramah's great-grandson, named after the Ramah, Reb Moshe Isserles, Reb Moshe Mendelssohn, a total 100% Shomer Shabbos? We have his memoirs where he says he stops writing. He's writing to great German philosophers. And he writes, I must end now because the Holy Sabbath is approaching. He writes to Lessing, come visit me if you're in the neighborhood on the Sabbath. I can't travel to you, but you can come to see me. But you come out to the new world, it's blinding, it takes time. How long did it take to create a rabbinate in the United States that can speak the language of the land with the sacredness of Torah? Now you just think. Raketer is going to give endless shiurim in the Monday class. I don't know if we're going to reach it this year, but the story of the rabbinate in the United States, the Agudas HaRabbanim. Why you graduates wanted to join Agudas HaRabbanim, the Agudas HaRabbanim, go fly a kite on my Eretz. What the hell do you know? Nothing. Pardon my French. What language do you speak? You give drashot in English. You are rabbis? Go fly a kite. You can't join the Egudas HaRabbanim. Took many years. Today, YU has graduates who can learn 5 times, 10 times more than the average Rev in the Egudas HaRabbanim. They never opened a safe in America. You know the what that Rav Moshe told the Rav, that it's a good thing that they have, some of them have good memories. They haven't opened a safer since they came to America. The Rav told, it's a whole story, I don't want to go into it now, but when the Rav gave his first shiur for the Egudas HaRabbanim in 1932 in Kodshim, and Rav Moshe tells, I heard this from the Rav, and Rav Moshe tells the Rav, he says, "Say, I'm living it in Yiddish, I'll try to say it in English." He tells the Rav, "Hat nish kein meida. If at that room come in and simmer, you'll come into the room, don't be upset, and you'll see all the shayna, fine rabbanim, sitzen dort mit Leingeborden, they're nice, fine rabbis, long beards, black clothes. Don't be impressed. But says, there's one guy sitting in back with a cylinder, with a high hat, Ken Lerman, as the einziger, was hat sich ausgewachsen. A guddle in America. See, Reb Lazer Silber was the only who came to America. He knew how to learn, but he wasn't a giant. But in Harrisburg, 17 years, finished what he had to do for the shul, sat and learned till 12, 1 o'clock at night. And he, Taka, held by. And the Reb says, I gave this shiur, and I thought I impressed everyone. And everyone comes over, Yashakoyach, Yashakoyach. And you know, the Rav was tall, clean-shaven, he looked like a shagetz. No one could believe. They used to think the father. No, it's true. I heard this from Rav Melech Shechta. He told me everyone thought the father was boasting. Mein Zundagon. They look, they were blown away. So Rav Lazer Silver comes over, and the Rav says, he shook my Yashakoyach. And he transfers into my hand that settle, a little paper with 8 different fabulous questions on the shiur. And the Rav and Reb Lazer became bosom buddies. When Reb Aaron got married, who do you think was Masada Kedushin? Reb Moshe was there, the Rav was there, Reb Shmuel Belkin was there, everyone was there. Who was Masada Kedushin? Reb Lazer Silver. So, you see, it takes many years until you can develop the ability to take, and I'm quoting the Rav now, these words are the words of the Rav, the halacha, it looks like an old lady, it looks like someone like the Yud who's not relevant, it looks like someone that's not contemporary. It takes many years to take this old lady who had a beautiful youth and a fabulous lifetime of accomplishment and to dress her and make her attractive that the new generation should be impressed. It took us many years in America. What happened in Israel is the greatest miracle of all. The Mizrahi element, Vasat Gechavit, that grew up on the same bench, as I said. They went out. They had visionaries. They reached out. They were not ghettoized. They organized yeshiva high schools. Ulpanot for women. Here's the yeshivat. Who would ever dream? Frontline soldiers, totally observant. Shailot coming up by the hundreds, by the thousands. What can you do on Shabbos? How do you prepare the tank? How do you get your gun ready? Etc. What do you do when there's no Erev on a battlefield? What do you do for food? Oh, endless shailos that we never dreamt about for more than 2,000 years. We never had shailos like this. Developed yeshivat gevorhat. Go to Mekhas Arav today. Go to Hakotel. Go to Kerem B'Yavna. Go to Shalavim. All over the country. Midan Ad Be'Sheva. Michlalot for girls, women. Who would ever dream women could have PhDs, MDs, research scientists, candidates for the Nobel Prize with their hair covered. With Azar Ibiki Gebenkeit, commitment. love. Who could ever dream this would happen? Who could ever dream Danny Taub? Can anyone tell me who he is? The ambassador to London of the State of Israel. Danny Taub, have you seen the 26-part series Hechatzer? Fabulous. Chassidic Rebbe, a Rebbe's court. The Lamdanut, the understanding, the character development. 26-part series. Who wrote it? Danny Taub. A Gaon Adir, Big Talmud Chacham, international law professor. Who would ever dream? Danny Taub. Can anyone tell me who he's related to by marriage? Aaron Rakefet, my granddaughter-in-law, is his first cousin. It's a family from London. Danny Taub's grandfather was the Rav of Manchester. His uncle is the big posek of the Haredi world today in Montreal. That's Danny Taub. The other first cousin is Ben Zvi, who happens only to be a multi-millionaire who owns Makor Rishon and just this year bought Maariv. Look what's happened here. Can you believe it? Every kid can grow up, can be frum, can be a London, can be a... Look at, and do whatever he wants if he's not cut out to learn. Doctor, dentist, lawyer, accountant, businessman, career officer. Who would ever dream Meir Kahana's nephew is on a Luft Mishner? I showed it to you, what was it, a Sunday or Monday? The latest issue of Bamachaneh. In line to become a brigadier general, Tatnalov. You ever see Yair Naver, major general, assistant to the Ramatkal today? I was together with him at a Sefer Torah that my wife got for the Israeli army, from brought it over from Muncie. My wife's achievement, told off this lady who survived Hitler and her husband smuggled out a Sefer Torah, and you're leaving your Torah in the United States? What should I do with it? You should give it to Tzva Haganah Yisrael. The woman started crying, asked me, what well, I said, I have a student who's in charge of getting Sefer Torah for the army. He's a major. And I'll give him a call. And I called him, and he went to see her in the hotel, and she told me that she served the falafel. She said the general was here. He's kind of luftari, actually. He's a lieutenant colonel. And she said the general came to see me, and that was it. I was at the dedication of the Torah. General Naver? It's like a yeshivish guy, like a gabbai in a shul. A guy all his life has been davening, all his life with the kippah. You don't have to look at a city, he knows everything by heart. What happened here was miraculous. But because of these two tremendous miracles, we now have culture in conflict. The Aguda world has grown so big, the average Israeli says, what's going on here? These people are draft dodgers. These people don't serve. These people don't teach their children the core curriculum. How do you raise a generation that we later have to support? 500,000 children are being raised to become charity wards. This 500,000 within 20 years will produce 1.5 million children. Before you know it, the majority of Israel will be analphabetic. The people resent this. To make it worse, everyone looks at the religious Zionist world. What are you afraid of? Look at the achievements. Look at the Sfarim. Look at the Chumim. Look at all the Kitvei Rav Kook. Look at the Shailat and Shuvit. Look what's come out of the army. Look what's come out of the yeshiva at Chesda. Look what's come out of the religious Zionist yeshiva. What are you afraid of? Look at Yehuda V'Shomran. And you have this tremendous conflict of culture. And Yair Lapid, and I got to give him credit, for a guy who they say did not graduate high school, they say has no bagrut, Bar Ilan got into tremendous trouble because they had this guy in a doctoral program, and according to what I hear, again, it's not a fact. I cannot say I confirmed it, but you read it in the press that he didn't graduate high school properly, and here he is in a doctoral program. But I have to tell you, he has a lot of insight, and he's a very intelligent person. This is not a stupid person, and he sensed the feeling of the mass of the population. And he comes up with 19 seats. He is the kingmaker, because without him, Netanyahu has no government. Now, the fight is real. The inability to compromise publicly on the Haredi side is part of their mental makeup. All of you know, and I've said this in my lectures on Das Torah, and I stand by it, although many people around the world, wonderful Hasidim, good Talmidim of mine, said to me, Rebbe, you're missing one point. A Hasid views the Rebbe as a father figure. And there is truth to that, that a Hasid views the Rebbe, it's like Saint Tata, it's his father. He always has a Rebbe. When he's young, the Rebbe is old. When the Hasid is old, the Rebbe is young. But they're always a father to turn to, not like a stupid little like myself, who lives with the Rav, even though the Rav is no longer tangible. But there's Das Torah. And Das Torah becomes part of the right wing or Haredi mentality that we are right, no one else is right. We are right, you are absolutely wrong. On every decision that the Haredi world had to make, they were 100% wrong. Agudat Yisrael? How can you be an agudist? It goes against the very basis of agudat thinking. There can be no Jewish sovereignty in the state of Israel to Mashiach. 1919 official policy of agudat Yisrael. Show me where agudat Yisrael officially negated this policy. Every decision. I can go on and on with descriptions. Ghettoization, no core curriculum, no prayer for the state of Israel. What state of Israel? State of Israel is you. It's me. There's no more Zionism left. Everyone makes a mistake. What Zionism? Ben-Gurion's grandchildren are Zionists. Barak's children are Zionists. Ben-Eliezer's children are Zionists. How many of all these kids live in Chutz La'aretz? But Israel is a reality today, and Rov Minyan and Binyan of Klal Yisrael lives here. How dare you not pray for the state, for the army who protects you and defends you, that we consider at this moment the Arabs would kill every man, woman, and child if they could. Look what's going on in Syria. Do you need a greater proof? Look what's going on in Afghanistan, in Iraq, etc. Look at Iran. They execute tens every week. Every decision they had to make. That's why I'm the greatest follower of Moria Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. To me, what he said in Chamesh Drasha, that Drasha, when it comes to Hashkafa, to look up and see what God wants you to do, there is no Das Torah. Wow. That says it all. And I give Rav Shach credit, and I say this in a footnote in the Rav, that's the only part of the Rav's publications that Rav Shach ever criticized, ever attacked in print, because Rav Shach understood very well, if the Rav is right, he is wrong. Then you can't both be right on that topic. So, and Das Torah is a problem. Because the Haredi world, and this will explain to you why they call us Goyim, why the Chatzi Shekel, why there's a magnificent article by Rav Rosen, who I know very well, at the end of Shabbat B'Shabbato, where he describes everything I'm saying, and he says, Tchumim, so many volumes of Tchumim, so much Torah, so much insight, all contemporary problems, you will not find it in a Haredi yeshiva. You will not find Rav Kook's writings in a Haredi yeshiva. You will not find the Rav's philosophical writings in a Haredi yeshiva. This is a tragedy. This is Das Torah. This is like a chassid. The Rebbe's always right. Chas v'chalilu, we should think that way. Chamesh Drashot is 1,000 times more important, more relevant, more accurate, and more correct. And I'm the greatest believer in Emunat Chachamim. But don't differentiate Emunat Chachamim, which is part and parcel of Torah Hashem Tamima, with a contemporary 20th century concept that has no basis in our religion. No one is infallible. If you know Shas and Paiskim, you have to understand me very well. Hamesh Drasha just articulates it in contemporary context. But I want to say to our good friend, soon to be Saba Memshelet Yisrael, Naftali Bennett, the Tzioni Dati world in the current dialogue has made one terrible mistake. Why do you criticize the Haredim? Don't criticize them. Just quote the sources that obligates every Torah Jew ba'asher husham. And I want to quote to you Hilchat Talmud Torah from the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud. It's the Rambam. It's not a modern scholar. It's not an Agudist. It's not a Mizrachist. It's the Rambam. Mipiv Anu Chaim, Emav Anu Shotim. Kol Amei Simat Libon Sheyasok B'Torah V'lo Yasam Alacha V'Yitpanes Min Atzdaka Harei Zechilu Et Hashem Ubiza Et HaTorah V'Kava Ma'or Hadat V'garam ra'a li atzmo v'natal chayav min ha'olam haba l'fi she'asur lehenot b'divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. Go further than the Rambam. He just gets sharper and sharper. It's the Rambam. And the Rambam didn't make it up. Look at the Nosei Kelim. Look at the sources. Look in the Gemara. In Kedushin Daf Chaf Tet, Ha'av Chayav LeLamed LeBeno U'Manut. When you have a child, you have responsibility. Many of you are fathers in this class. Do you feed your children? Do you buy diapers for your children? Do you educate your children? Do you spend money on tuition? You know what a kid costs to raise? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Millions of dollars, ultimately, particularly in the United States, tuition. You have responsibility. You brought a kid into the world. Al-Kachra Tanolad, no child has to be born. It's an open Mishnah. Al-Kachra Tanolad, Pirkei Avot. You have children, responsibility. Achrayut. Education. What, the kid has to be an umklet? And let me tell you a little story. Bididi Haviyuvda. A Russian family that I had a very close relationship with in Russia and here. They finally got out. And I always used to say, leave it to the Russians to make the wrong decision the first time they can make decisions. Because in the Russian society, you can't make decisions. And it's a true story. Kids get out, three children. Had the children registered for Chorev. I had protexia, got them in. No, it's not firm enough. Because Rakefet, maybe the greatest thing he did or the stupidest thing he did, but a guy named Aaron Rakefet got Agudat Yisrael in America involved in everything they do in Russia. And if you don't believe the Rebbe who's now speaking, go read Rakefet's book and study it well and look at the pictures and the photographs of the documents from Washington to Washington. Rakefet got Agudat Yisrael involved. Agudat Yisrael started sending shlichim. The shlichim preached their ideology. By the time this family got out, they were Agudist then. Degel HaTeira. Das Teira. What does Rakefet know? Chorev's not good enough. So this kid doesn't go to Chorev. Goes to Achaida. He's a young kid. I was at the kid's bar mitzvah. Outside of the fact that they spoke Hebrew, I thought it was back in Poland. Two separate rooms. Men here, women there. And the Rebbe, the kids, and Vimindret, and Vimindret. It was something to see. All right, I love Yiddishkeit. If this is what they choose, let them choose it. My dear students, a few years later, I get a call from the father and mother. If I can help them, The kid left home and said to his parents, "You destroyed my life. I have no way to make a living." Kid wound up in the army, learned computers, became a shomer, made a living, a watchman. You know, we need shomrin all over Israel. It's a whole profession, a yotzei tzava from Yechidat Kravit. You make a nice living. It's many years later. I don't believe the young man fasts on Yom Kippur. So when you, Mr. Bennett, Hassa Bennett, His Eminence Mr. Bennett, whatever you, every way you have to relate to a Sabim and Shelet Yisrael, show them the Rambam. You talk about the army? Can anyone show me any heter for any young man who is physically well not to serve in the Israeli army, whether he lives in Lakewood or Borough Park or Los Angeles or Manchester or London or Johannesburg or Cape Town, etc.? Show me a cheta. There is no cheta whatsoever. Laka kama vakama for those living here. This is the greatest milchemet mitzvah we have. Perek Hamishi in the Rambam, Hilchat Malachim, Halacha Aleph. Ein Hamelech Milcham Techila Alam Milchemet Mitzvah. The Ezehi Milchemet Mitzvah is Milchemet Shivat Hamim, Milchemet Amalek. And then the third type, the Ezrat Yisrael Mitzah Sheba Aleihem. There's no greater Milchemet Mitzvah than what we have today. And don't let anyone tell you you need a Beis Din, you need a Sanhedrin. Halacha bet. Milchemet mitzvahinu tzadich litov bo reshut Beit Din. El yotzei meyatzmo mikol eit v'kofer ha'am latzeit. You force every able-bodied soldier to go out. Halacha Dalet, you talk about all those that are patur from fighting. Don't have to comment further. Wow. My dear friends in the Haredi world, what do you do with this Rambam? What do you do with that Rambam? What do you do with the Sugya in Masechet Sota? What do you do with the Sugya in Masechet Kedushin? What are you, Reform Jews? You rip out that which is difficult? That which you don't like? The Reform Jews ripped out Shivat Zion, ripped out Shabbos, ripped out Kashrut, ripped out Tarat HaMishpacha, and you rip out core curriculum and Tzva Haganah LeYisrael. That is the greatest miracle that the Jews have had in thousands of years. That we Jews, Am Kishei Oref, can form an army with a chain of command. That a Jew can salute another Jew, that a Jew can salute an officer. Rebbeinu Shelolam, what an achievement, and what an army, and an army with kashrut, b'pkudah. Trust you know what I'm saying. It's not a request. It's not a bakasha. There's a big difference. A bakasha, you can say yes or no. A pkudah, you're court-martialed. If you, people who mix up meat and milk in the kitchen, if he's an officer, he goes to jail. If he's a lower than an officer, he'll be fined money. Kashrut, Shabbat, every army kitchen. Asur lahadrik eish b'Shabbat b'Pkudah. You have any idea what this means? Told you, $100,000 mikveh built in the big Air Force base down south. And I have to say something else. The leaders, gentlemen, the leaders of Aguda and Shas have desecrated themselves with their enmity towards Eretz Yisrael, as if the Jews living in Yehuda v'Shomron are responsible. They didn't create Yair Lapid. They didn't vote for Yair Lapid. We're caught up in a web. Of course, if we had a choice, when push comes to shove, I personally would go with the Haredi parties and reach a compromise. Well, we don't have that choice now. Eretz Yisrael, you're going to boycott products from Yehuda v'Shomron? You're like the anti-Semites in England, in Norway, in Sweden? God have mercy, how far you have gone from Torah values. Look into the Aruch HaShulchan. Look into the Aruch HaShulchan and you're a Deus Siman Reish Samech Zion. Look into Sifkat and Pei Bet. And the Aruch HaShulchan talks about the halachat of Avadim who run away. How you're not allowed to return an Eved to Chutz Laretz. How if an Eved lives in Eretz Yisrael and his balabayit sells the Eved, we're talking about an Eved Kenani, sells him to someone in Chutz Laretz, the Eved goes free. And the Aruch HaShulchan goes on to describe how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'dinz and noe gafilu ha'idne, even today. The gamata yesh mitzvah b'yeshivat Eretz Yisrael. And this is the Aruch HaShulchan. This is an Eved Kenani. This is love of Eretz Yisrael. What do you do with the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvot in his critique on Maimonides that he didn't count mitzvah Jish of Eretz Yisrael as one of the mitzvot? And the Ramban learns, B'chol Leit Ve'et, we are chayiv to go and fight and conquer the land. What do you do with that Ramban? And how much ink has been spilled to explain Maimonides, how much shurim I have given, quoting Gedolei Achronim, explaining Maimonides, that of course Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuv. It's such a great mitzvah that it's axiomatic. You don't put in Ani Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah according to the Rambam. You don't put in Yeshiva Yisrael because obviously that's the year because you have to build the basement, because you have to have kabbonis, you have all the dinim, you have Seder Zrayim, you have Trumot and Maisrit, you have all the halacha that are integrated and intrinsic with mitzvah Yeshiva Aretz. Axiomatic. This is what we have to say to these chatzufim who vulgarly open their mouths and castigate some of the finest, most wonderful Jews alive today. So, my dear students, we have a natural process going on. Ashreinu shezachinu lekach. There's now 2 million plus Shomer Shabbos Jews Alat Mata Kodesh. No one but no one would have believed this. If someone would have told me when I came in Aliyah 44 years ago that you're going to see more than 2 million Shomer Shabbos Jews Alat Mata Kodesh. Baruch Atah Adonai Melech Olam She'akol Yevet Bero. More than that, Torah is starting to put on the garment of contemporary Israel in the 21st century. Many in the Haredi world want to join. They are good Jews. Their hearts beat a Jewish beat. Some of them know how to learn. And these sources are not alien to them. Unfortunately or fortunately, Gedolei Yisrael are very frightened of change. The Chatam Sofer said it beautifully when he paraphrased the Mishnah at the end of Allah, the last Mishnah in Allah, and he took it literally, not figuratively, Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. Anything new? We're hesitant about. We know what we have. We don't know what we're going to get. I can understand that feeling. But a process is happening, a divinely inspired process, a process that when we look upwards and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants out of us, we see tremendous blessing. We see youth today, their values. Ashrei ayin ra'ata zot. Not kiso, and not koso, and not kaso, but Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and all that is holy and sacred. Every Jew faces a choice to live and be just another social security number, another Tudat Sehut number, another Mispari Shi in the IDF, or to be a Jew who changes the course of history. Thank you, Sherry. God bless. My dear students, we are changing the flow of history. What has happened here at Admat HaKodesh that began with Avraham Avinu, we've gone through so much until today, Churban Bayit Rishon, Churban Bayit Sheni, a finster, a bitter, a gullus, massive assimilation and intermarriage, a spiritual holocaust in the Anglo world, the Russian world to a certain degree as well. And take a look what we're privileged to be part of. It's difficult to see the heartache, the inner fighting, the terrible language that is being used, caustic, degrading, but ultimately it's leading to a fabulous achievement. Now let me shift into our world. And here I just want to relate. I'm positive if my Rebbe would be sitting here and I could say, Rebbe, you take over now, he would say word by word what I'm about to say. The world of Bennett, Matan, Mizrahi movement, the world in which you are growing up, the world that's challenging you, we too face tremendous difficulty. The 20th anniversary of the Rav's Yahrzeit now, and a lot is circulating, including an interview he gave to Geula Cohen in the early 1960s. The interview is very fascinating. Geula Cohen, who was a big politician here, big Chayrutnik, her son, who's far, far from the mother, is a big Likudnik. How the Likud allows this man to have power, he's a convicted criminal. But in his case, it's Kiso. Kiso, just a little money that he took. But that's the reality. He'll be announced as a Sabim Shelet Yisrael today or tomorrow. So Geula Cohen, it's Hanegbi's father, mother. Geula Cohen, who was very big in Chirut, or Lechi actually, Lochamei Chirut Yisrael, has a glorious career behind her. So she was interviewed the Rav. And the Rav is explaining to her his basic philosophy that I've explained so many times in class. Gevet toshav anochi machem. We live in two worlds. Even in Israel, you live in two worlds. The Rav is saying this in the early 60s. Alach at kama v'kama today in 2014, when you open a computer, we all are part of the global village, including Mea Shearim, including Bnei Brak. There is no way to escape it. Just look at some of the Haredi websites. You'll see how correct I am. And this is a challenge, not to let these values intermingle. A Torah Jew has Devar Hashem Zu Halacha. There are limits how far we can go and adapt concepts from the big democratic Western world around us. And this is one of the greatest challenges facing us. The Haredi world does not have these challenges as long as there's no core curriculum. They have it later when these kids go into the big world when these kids wake up. That story I told you about that 16-year-old kid telling his parents, go fly a kite, you destroyed my life. And the kid walked away from Yiddishkeit and everything. All right, he still lives in Israel, I'll say that much. As far as I know, he's not married. What does he have to get married for? I know many people, they're not married, they live. This one, a few years, they give up, they walk away, next one, God have mercy. No sanctity, no responsibility, no concern for tomorrow. The Chari of the world has this problem too, but we have it major, because our education is dual. Yeh v'tosha v'nachi imachem. And here I have to tell you, this is where the late Professor David Hartman had tremendous influence, and I see it, I read, I feel it. The Rav's thinking has little influence. He's not known, not understood. Dvi has a lot more influence. Adaptive Judaism. I love the way the New York Times described him. They got it right. Everyone else was he Orthodox, not Orthodox, conservative, not conservative. Rabbi Lichtenstein asked him, Dvi, why don't you declare yourself conservative? You think like a conservative. Of course, the conservatives don't cry when they say Kol Nidrei. All right, if you understand that answer, someone's Zayin Gezeirah. I can give a whole pilpul on the answer, but it's not important now. But I want to be concrete. The homosexual issue, it is beyond words for someone of my generation, a Talmud of the Rav, to comprehend what has happened. You have why you mismachim, double talking homosexuality. I want to tell you, no one wants to harm homosexuals. Reb Aaron gave an interview and everyone jumped on that interview, took it out of context. Got to be very careful. Homosexuality is not normative. And we have to make that clear. And I don't buy this talk that 10, 20% research, and I showed you research, I gave it out in class, 2% or under of the entire population may have inborn homosexuality tendencies. And this is research done all over the civilized world, from Australia to the North Pole. It is not normative. And if you have the problem, you need help. But if we come out and say, it's fine, it's good, it's a democracy, freedom of choice, Obama says it's fine, it's good, Clinton now, the moron comes out, God, it's the end of the world. But it's very bad, because when a rabbi is willing to accept that as being normative, then another 100 kids will not go for help. I have dealt with problems in my years of teaching. Every kid I've dealt with has straightened out or worked it out. But they've managed. We're born with tendencies, I told you. When's the last time I got angry? No, who knows? When's the last time I got angry? Every student of mine knows this. 1972. It's the last time I got, I can tell you why, it's not for now, in the Mikhlop, say that's not important. In the classroom I got angry. Last time. I was born, I saw the love used to explode. My father's, remember, my father could, don't even want to tell you, got angry. You cannot get me angry. Ribbono Shel'Olam, give me strength. You cannot get me angry. No, you're born with tendencies. Some people are fat, are 400 pounds. It's not good to be so fat, to eat so much. You have to. I once said that in class. A girl walked out and dropped my class because she was overweight and she said I embarrassed her. Oh, you can't win. All right, some people may have hormones, but you have to treat it. You have to know it's not normative, it's not healthy, it's not good. I'm not a youngster, Baruch Hashem. I walk endless kilometers every week. You see, the kotel. I walk as quick as my students who are accompanying me. We can't let the Western world, the Toshav part, affect our thinking. But there's a better example. And here I'm very, very frightened. And this also began with the Shalom Hartman Institute years ago. I couldn't believe my eyes when I read it. Are we a Jewish state or are we a Western state? My dear students, if we become a Western state, we become murderers. Can you explain that to me, Shmuel? What righteous say? If we become a Western state, we become murderers, and I'm 100% absolutely correct. Halakhically, theologically, philosophically, educationally, sociologically. We're another Western state. We have no right to be here. We robbed the land. It doesn't belong to us. What are we doing here? Go to Britain. Go to Oxford University. Go to Canada. Go to every university. Go to Stanford. Go with their demonstrations. We robbed the land. We're a Jewish state. We have every right to be here. Everyone else is a squatter. They're a toshav, a rai. We are the continuity of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us this land. Read the Bible at the Jewish, at the United Nations. Oh, we had to go to war. We had to protect ourselves. If we're not a Jewish state, we had no right to lift the gun. Go back, as Reb Meshulam David Soloveitchik said, Mendaf Sadiq came to Ruslan and to America. Let all the Yeshiva go back to Russia. Go back to America. And he thinks America's going to take 70,000 Yeshiva boys in their current financial climate and support them. But all right, he may be a goan in learning. He's certainly not a goan in contemporary economics. My dear students, we are not murderers. Golda Meir said it so beautifully. She says she can forgive the Arabs for everything they did to us, except for one thing. They turned our boys into murderers. We had to establish an army. We had to learn to shoot. I have grandchildren who killed terrorists. Turned our boys into murderers. Little guy like myself, I won 2 sharp shooting awards. And if you don't believe me, read Washington. My grandchildren all love this story. I won the awards and the guy shooting on my... I fought in 2 wars. Okay? I know what it's about. We're not murderers. What makes a Jewish state? What makes a Jewish state is Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha. God have mercy on us if we allow buses on Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos Beparhesu, we are not Westerners. Our concept of religion is not a Western concept. In America, religion is a private individual matter. You do what you want. You're an individual. You go to the church you want. You walk out of church, you're an American. The hell with religion, it's all behind you. I could never get over my neighbors. Sunday they went to church for 1 hour. 1 hour. That was it. They come home, beer, pretzels, the football game, 1 o'clock, everyone's sitting around the television. A Jew is a Jew, 7:24. What do you mean? Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat, Mishpacha, everything you do, Talmud, Torah, Tefillah, Chesed, helping an old lady across the street. I go out of my way I walk in Yerushalayim, I see people looking at a map. I always go over, can I help you? Can I have health in? And Yechol Azolachem, I say it in 3 languages. I know 3 different languages. That's all. I don't know more, unfortunately. I have a daughter and my wife both know French, so they also, my daughter once gave people instructions from French, they asked her which part of France you're from. That's a Jew. Buses on Shabbos, yes, this is a price we have to pay for being Jewish. And I give Aaron Barak credit that the Supreme Court, there was an appeal against the ruling here by the Ministry of Import, Export, whoever deals with it, that only kosher meat can be brought into Israel. And it was challenged by the Sunni religion here. Those who don't understand religion, that may not use the word Sunni. Shalom Evinim. We're in privilege to have good Rebbeim. Only read the scandals that go on and don't read about the tzidkut and the greatness of certain wonderful individuals that have carried the Torah from yesteryear and planted it for tomorrow. So it came to the Supreme Court and Aaron Barak said this is a conflict between Jewish values and Western values. Western values you can import, whatever you want, oysters, shrimp, pig. Jewish values, kosher. And he ruled that in this case, the Jewish value has to win out. It's a Jewish state. And I give Aaron Barak credit, because he's very distant from understanding the Baruch Hashem Zu Halacha. You're going to run buses on Shabbos? So where's our Shabbos? Where's our Shabbos? And we have to understand this, that there's a limit what we can do in the Western world because we have Torah commitments. And I have to tell you, in the new generation that Baruch Hashem is shown the Torah and mitzvah, the youth of the Makari shown, the youth of a good deal of our yeshiva, Gevohat, and our Hezde yeshiva, they have to understand. We can't go out and adapt Torah to Western civilization. What we can accept from Western civilization, we can accept with two arms and 10 fingers. What we can't accept, we have to dismiss, and dismiss in dignity. My dear students, let me end off with Divrei Torah. I had a lot more to say, but time and energies have run out. There's a helicopter. Just think for a minute that the pilot can be Baruch Goldstein's son. Okay? Why you, Baruch Goldstein? What a tragedy. Hey, can't teach hatred. Got to give every human being the benefit of the doubt. But if he lifts a stone to throw at me, al pi halacha, you can shoot him. And I differ with some of the ethics that are promulgated by the Israeli army. Those are not Jewish ethics. They've been influenced by foolish Western double talk and hypocriticism, hypocrisy. Gentlemen, say tonight, we do it wrong. It's a musavat. I heard this from the Mashgiach. I repeat it. I'm always inspired by it. We do it wrong. We reach the mill. We finally reach the mill. You know, we have a long agada and you want to say Torah. If we would open up the Rambam and just do the Rambam Seder, as I told you, wow, you'd be done in 25 minutes. Look in the Rambam and after Chilchat Chametz HaMatzah, you'll see. They reach the mill. Baruch Hashem. What do you eat first? The matzah. Then after you filled yourself with Baruch Hashem, how you a sheer matzah, all right, whatever it is, half a matzah, a third of a hand matzah, a half a machine matzah. Others say two-thirds of a machine matzah. Then you have mara. Tell me, isn't that the wrong order? As a Western person who learned chronological history, didn't the mara, the bitterness, the enslavement come before the redemption, the matzah? Shouldn't it be exactly the opposite? It's a wonderful question. And the Balei Musar, it's attributed to Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Rabbi Yisrael used to say that you can't make a human being do what is impossible for him. A human being who's healthy mentally, healthy psychologically, those of you who have studied psychology will recognize what I'm saying in a minute, you have very healthy defense mechanisms. And we block out the negative. That way we can go further, that way we can be happy, that way we can create again. Some of us have gone through illness. Some of us have lost dear ones, parents, spouses. God have mercy to lose a child. Have students who have lost children. So hard. Some of us have been very poor, had moments in life when where we didn't have money for food. It's not an easy experience. We've had difficulties in school, relationships. I know people who never married because they were crazy about this girl and the girl told them to drop dead and they never got over it. I know both, on both sides, men who never married and women. Men who work the heck with it, they're not interested. Couldn't take rejection. Most people, if you have a healthy mental frame, well, yes, you feel bad, you suffer, you go further. And ultimately, The negative is ruled out. I can't remember my father as he looked on his deathbed, but I remember my father well, healthy. Same thing with my mother. But my father, I suffered a much longer period. He suffered. We suffered with him. I can't remember why. I remember when he was healthy and well. I can't visualize the rub in his old age. I saw him in his old age. I see the rub in his prime, in his strength. I see Rebbe as the portrait in my office. Rabbi Rubin says, why don't you take your portrait and hang it up downstairs? Why do they have a portrait of the Rebbe in his old age? Why not the way he looked in his prime? All right. I have to consider it. If there's anyone to talk to here, remember, this building runs on its own motion. What can I tell you? Yes. How can we say to a Jew, eat tomorrow? Here we are, Eretz Yisrael, we have survived, we are Jewish, Baruch Hashem, we have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, thank God we've been through Shas a number of times, we have achieved, we have where to turn, we have websites filled with endless divrei Torah and insights and hashkafa. What a world! Minyanim around the clock where I live. Wow, my grandchildren know what it is to plan your life around the minyan. They plan a minyan around their life. You say to a grandchild, I'm going to the shtiblach for Marv. It's 6 o'clock. Oh, no, I'm davening at 8:30 when Abba comes home. We said we'll go together. Yeah, it's unbelievable what you have here. So a healthy human being has to eat the matzah first. Only when he's satiated and satisfied and enjoying the fullness of achievement and commitment, then we remind him, Reb Yid, Mr. Jew, Mrs. Jewess, think back now what you went through. And pay a little attention to all the murray you went through. And then you'll be all the more thankful when you eat the korech and you put together the murray, the bitterness, the suffering, the Holocaust, the wars we have fought, the korbanot we have brought, then the matzah becomes all the more meaningful. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, it's a fabulous fart. It can't be otherwise. I want to say to you with a prayer, it's a lot of heartache now. I know, I again apologize. I've lived here 44 years. I've heard so much malediction, so much cursing, and so much amha aretz. People with big titles, total ignoramuses when it comes to Torah, no understanding. I grew up, I had great rabbeim, I come from a different world. And by the way, having a photographic memory doesn't make you an adam gadol. You should be aware of that. People can be photographic memory from the day to tomorrow, doesn't mean you're an adam gadol. It means you have a good memory. But from there to becoming an adam gadol is a great challenge. And it hurts. And what hurts me more are the scandals which you're not even current with. Thank God. And there's no need to be current with it. But I know the people. That one with Flatbush, I was knocked for a loop. It's like someone knocked me down and I counted 10. And I've had that before too. There's a guy sitting in jail, or why you musmach here? When they announced what he did and gave the name, I fainted literally and figuratively. I fainted. It's someone I know intimately. We were related by marriage. He was a why you pin up here, rabbi, doctor. Oh my God. Rotting away in jail today. It's hard, but I have full confidence that the day will come, and it's this process here. It's not going to happen overnight. Didn't happen in America overnight. Didn't happen in any gullus overnight. But we're heading there. And just as the Mizrahi and Aguda one time sat in the same bench together, Zayim Gizanov, the Zelbe Bankel in Cheder together, Tzuzamen, the day is going to come, maybe 50, 60 years from now, when all religious Jews will be true brothers in life, in reality, in thinking, in commitment, in achievement. And instead of 2 million Jews here, it'll be 99% of the population at that time, which will be well over 10 million Jews, Kanayin Hara. And at that moment, we will eat matzah with joy and glee, and only afterwards have to remind ourselves a little mara because of what we lived through in 2013. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for your kind attention. I want to give out that no one should make a mistake. To all my students, classes after Pesach, Sunday, April 7th, 2013, 5:30 p.m., do not tell the truth. That year goes for 36,000 to get in. I reveal a source that you have not yet seen. Monday, April 8th, 2013, 9 a.m., the vision of Yeshiva College, how it came about. Come to that shiur, I pay you back $30,000 for indulging me. Nala Dayek Bisman, please be punctual, and Danny, 5 minutes early, 5 o'clock. Your Rebbe, Aaron Rakefet. Chag Kasher v'sameach b'sora tovot aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. Thank you. Please take, so you'll be reminded. We have more business than you think. I have to talk with you. Anyone? No, more than that. Anyone want the thing on Valesian? Anyone want Yair Lapid's speech? I have 2 copies. It's an excellent speech. The problem is that the Haredim don't respond. That's, yeah. Anyone want the Rambams, the sources? I don't need anything. You can have whatever you want. On the Shaila, anyone want Rav Lichtenstein's interview where he talks about homosexuality and they quote him afterwards? Anyone want, you asked the Shaila of Rabbi Bednash, husband and wife holding hands in public. Here's the tshuva of the B'nai Bonim on that very topic. The B'nai Bonim on that very topic. Holding hands, a husband and wife holding hands in public. No, he allows it. Anyone want my notes from today's press conference? It has a lot more than what I did because it's what I... Anyone want what I was ready to rip apart? The program of Limud. We'll let Rabbi Rubin take it. Rabbi Rubin arranged to give it him. Anyone want Shabbat b'Shabbato? Anyone want the Mashkiach of Lakewood and what he had to say, which beyond comprehension, but what can I tell you? Okay. All right, so you heard what I said today.